Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and in the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Friends, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a truism and a cliche to say that our culture has trouble waiting. When my wireless network doesn't pull up, when I'm at the coffee shop and I'm working on my sermon for Ash Wednesday and I want to stream music, I get really frustrated. When they don't have my order ready at Chick-fil-A and I place the order 10 minutes early and I show up in the drive-thru and it's not ready, I get angry. Like some of you this evening when I have to wait in traffic on my way to church and I'm later than I wanted to be, I get very frustrated. It's true that some people in our culture live in a state of perpetual nervous anxiety because of horrible circumstances that are beyond their control. But many of us, maybe most of us in this room tonight, have elevated blood pressure and live in a state of constant stress for no good reason. The word that hits me, that hit me as I listened and read carefully Paul's letter to the Corinthians, that is our second lesson tonight. The word that hit me as I read it over and over again is now. Now. Paul says, now is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. There's a kind of urgency that Paul seems to feel, an immediacy, a sense that time is ticking away and there's something very important to do, a sense that the window of opportunity is closing now. Lent, of course, this season that we begin on Ash Wednesday, is a season and a time to hear God's invitation to lay aside all those obstacles that stand between us and a deeper life with God. And on the one hand, our lack of urgency about the things that God has given us to do is one of the primary obstacles to life with God. My kids really love the movie Up. You know, the Pixar movie Up. And if you've seen the movie, perhaps you remember that some of the significant characters in that movie are the dogs, right? There are these dogs that can put on these very high-tech collars that enable the dogs to speak. The dogs speak in very articulate, complete sentences and give you the sense that they're pursuing some very clear goals and able to understand the people that they interact with. But as they're speaking, more often than not, they're distracted, right? In the middle of their sentences, they say, squirrel, squirrel. They see something and they're distracted and they run in the opposite direction. Lent is a time when we reflect on our own tendency to do that very thing, to be focused on God and yet easily distracted by all the things of the world. But I think sometimes the obstacles to deeper life with God are a little more subtle than that. The deceiver works in our lives with great subtlety and sometimes even uses very good things to pull us away from a deeper life with God. The deceiver uses good things to diminish our sense of urgency about the things that matter most in our life with God. Take as a case in point our story from the gospel lesson this past Sunday, the Sunday of the Transfiguration. I think most of us know that story pretty well. When Jesus goes up onto the mountaintop and he takes his closest friends, his inner circle, Peter, James, and John. And while they're up on the mountaintop, Jesus is transformed and becomes brilliant and radiant and shines with the very light of God. And what's the first instinct of those three disciples that come with Jesus? They want to do something quickly. They want to do something to serve Jesus and to serve Moses and Elijah who were there with Jesus. It's not a bad thing necessarily, is it? They want to honor Jesus. They want to honor these great people, these great leaders from God. It's a holy impulse and a noble desire. But it is, as Jesus says elsewhere in the Gospels, not the better portion. The more needful thing, the thing that God desires most, the thing that will bring us the truest joy and the deepest fulfillment, is that thing that God says from the cloud on the mountaintop to speak to the disciples. Listen to my son. Listen to him. Listen to Jesus. God calls us to listen to Jesus before we do anything else, to take time to drill down more deeply into who Jesus is and what Jesus has to offer to all of us. And not what we have to offer to him, which is often our first impulse. You see, we, on the other hand, we want quick answers about what we should do. We want quick fixes. We want to act immediately and do something that'll show tangible results. But so often, our impatience and our givenness to distraction leads us astray. Consider this. I think one of the stories that most of us know pretty well in this room is the story of the golden calf. Remember, Moses, with God's help and God's calling, leads the people of Israel out of bondage in Egypt. They go on dry land through the Red Sea and into the wilderness, and God leads them to the foot of Mount Sinai. And there they are, And Moses goes up into the clouds on the mountaintop, and they don't hear from him for 40 days and 40 nights, and they're anxious and urgent to do something, to get down to business. And so what do? They set up a collection, and they take up everyone's jewelry, and they melt it down, and they build a golden calf. But like all idols, the golden calf is not so much about people rejecting the Lord as it is about people impatiently turning to the next best thing when God doesn't show up on our timeline. That's what an idol really is all about. It's about wanting God, but not being willing to wait on God. And so we turn to the next best thing. Our call this Lenten season is to learn to wait, to learn to be uncomfortable with a certain amount of uncertainty, to subtract, to simplify, to narrow our focus so that we can make more room in our lives for more of Jesus and the good things that he has to offer. And as all of us know, when we add something to our life, more often than not, we have to take something away, right? So we seek to add more of Jesus to our life, and that means we have to take some things away. I want to be uncharacteristically concrete this evening and make a couple specific recommendations to you in your Lenten disciplines. The first is this: I want to encourage you in the practice of centering prayer. I think centering prayer is a very important thing. It's something that's a great blessing in my life and the lives of many other Christians. And let me tell you basically what centering prayer is, and contrast it with what most of us do when we go to God in prayer. When we go to God in prayer, we bring all of our best words and all of our best intentions. It's like there's this great amount of water that's building up inside of us, and the dam breaks, and we pour out all of our words to God, and we give them all up to God. That's a good and holy thing. But centering prayer asks us to simply sit in silence and listen. And listen. If any of you get the weekly word from Pastor Nate, you'll probably see in there that I include a prayer list. And essentially, that's my personal prayer list that I share with you. And that's what I try to take to God every day in prayer, to say all those words to God and remember all those important things in daily prayer. But you know what helps me the most? When I take about 5 minutes before I do that to just sit in silence and be with God and listen to God, then I am in a place of peace and rest and, more often than not, contentment, so that I can not just talk to God, but listen to God. The other thing that I want to encourage you to try this Lenten season is something that's called Lectio Divina. That's a fancy Latin phrase that basically means sacred reading. And what we do when we practice Lectio Divina is we simply take a word or a phrase from Scripture and we make that our prayer. When we go to read Scripture, more often than not, we're focused on what I would call extensive reading of Scripture. We think in terms of big chunks of Scripture. We think of stories, like the story of the golden calf. We think of the story of the Good Samaritan. We think of books of Scripture, the book of Exodus or the book of Hebrews. And it's good to think about the stories of Scripture, but Lectio Divina asks us to consider one word or one phrase. Something that's been very powerful for me in my life is that verse in John 17 when Jesus says, "I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends." Often when I go to prayer, I remember that phrase, "I call you friends," and I simply meditate on that piece of Scripture instead of trying to read a big long passage. I just marinate in that phrase, that promise, that assurance of Jesus. The posture of these two acts and other spiritual disciplines like them is fundamentally passive. It cuts against our good Lutheran pietist longing to get out there and do a lot of good stuff in Jesus' name. It's good to go out and do a lot of good things in Jesus' name, but our first and our primary calling is simply to be with Jesus, to dwell in His goodness, to know His love, and to experience His grace and His mercy. I want to leave you with two very powerful to me quotes. And the first is from Martin Luther. Martin Luther said this. Martin Luther said, "All those things that I have given to God, I have never lost. But all those things that I held on to, I no longer have." Whatever we place into God's hands, we ultimately do not lose. But whatever we try to hold on to, we're going to lose. And there's another quote that's similar to that, and it's from Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa says, "You never know that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have." Now, none of us are going to be the spiritual giants that Martin Luther and Mother Teresa were. But our call this Lent, our call is to rest in the grace of Jesus, to stop our striving, to let go of some things so that we can make more room in our lives for Jesus and the good things that He promises to bring to us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.